Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience out there and those that are listening to us.
Well, you know, Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, I just want to share just a little bit about it. I don't know how much time we actually have, but hopefully I get a chance to share. But, you know, think about this. When Jesus, his first aspect of ministry, once he's come through the, he's been baptized, he went by John the Baptist, he's gone, and he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and the desert, you know, to fast 40 days, and he was tempted by the devil there, and he comes out of that, and he begins to call his disciples to himself, and when they gathers disciples to himself, he sits down on a mountain, and he begins to teach them. Mm-hmm. And that's what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's actually, he sat down on a mountain and began to teach. That's what that means. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can legalize the whole concept of Sermon on the Mount. So the thing is, it's not the mountain. It's what did he say when he was on that mountain, which is his expectations of us. And he started talking about how we can have a blessed life. And we know, you think, man, Jesus gave us the secrets of how to be blessed. And he began to say, you know, this is, you're blessed if you do this. You're blessed if you do that. You're blessed if you do this. It's like, my goodness, we need to listen to the words of Jesus. How many things are being said today that's not even the basic words of Jesus? We've got to go back and say, you know, what did Jesus say?
That's right.
And go back to his words, the Sermon on the Mount, and it goes on. But this, we're going to go right to, you know, Matthew chapter 5, verse 2. And he's talking to him, and his disciples are sitting around him. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That's three blessings. That's three blessings. Hmm. Fourth blessing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Look at all these blessings. And blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. There's even more. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. It just keeps going. There's another one. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And finally, another blessing, John, Pat. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me, Jesus said. Think about that. Wow. He said, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. It's just powerful. We're thinking, like, you know, I want to have a blessed life. And the very first thing that Jesus tells us is how to have a blessed life. The first thing he does, his first message is, he says, I want to bless you. I didn't come in the world to condemn the world. I come in the world to save the world. I'm going to tell you actually how to be blessed. And when you think about eight different blessings that he talks about, it requires us, we have to do these eight different things. And these eight things is what? The first thing he told us, that we have to learn how to embrace weakness. Mm-hmm. You don't push weakness away. Draw it close to you as a friend. Embrace it. Listen, God exists in your always, but in your life, is manifests his presence in your life when you're willing to embrace weakness in your life. The second thing he tells us is to be broken over your sin. You know, blessed are those who mourn, right? That they be broken, have a brokenness for our sin in our life, for when we've failed, if we made mistakes. The next thing he tells us that we have to do to be able to be blessed, right, is to have humility in our life, to humble ourselves, in a total dependency on God and respect for other people, just humbling ourselves. The fourth thing he tells us is to seek to know the ways of Jesus and obey them. That's a disciple. Be a disciple. And the next thing we have to do to have this blessing, we'll be blessed, right? Showing mercy to others. And mercy is this: when people don't deserve things good done for them, you do good things for them. Mm-hmm. And you'll find people that aren't gifted or don't understand mercy. They'll question you. Why are you still being nice? What's going on? But, you know, he says that, that there's a blessing that comes with it. When you're merciful, there's a blessing that comes from this. Mm. And that's a good, that really helps you out, because sometimes you're wondering, should I be doing anything for this person because of all the things they've done? The truth is, just be merciful. Mm. Just be merciful and let God do it, because it's God's kindness that quite often that leads people to repentance. And the next is we got to be able to be blessed is to have pure motives. You know, how is our heart, our motives of our heart? It matters why we do what we do. Mm. And, you know, I quite often I'm just very naive about a lot of things. I'm shocked to find out. You mean you've been doing all this for all this time? And that was your motives? You really wanted to make a name for yourself? Is that what that was really going on? Are you, you know, just shocked? Mm. Like, oh my goodness. And so we have to have pure motives why we're doing what we're doing. The next thing we do, we have to be a peacemaker. You know, that we want to make peace. And peace, though, the word, when you look it up in the Greek, it means confronter. You know, like a stop sign is a peacemaker. It brings peace in that intersection, right? Mm. It confronts you and says, stop. But it's a peacemaker. Mm. And so a peacemaker is not somebody that just says, que sera, whatever, what we will be. It's the fact that we're willing to do what's right to maintain the peace. Police officers used to be called bobbies or peace officers, because they were there to maintain the peace. As a police officer, they would call us out to situations just for the purpose of maintaining the peace, so that you had two people that were arguing that we're going to have to go meet again because of something. And the police officer would show up to maintain the peace. But you had to be, your presence had to be there. Everybody had to be confronted with that authority. And so being a peacemaker is more, it's not case or right, case or right. It's like doing what's right, understanding in the long run, there's going to be peace there in that situation. Mm-hmm. And the eighth one, the eighth expectation of God for us to have these blessings is to be obedient, even in persecution. To bear up under unjust treatment and to suffer for doing good. We have to bear up under that persecution. Persecution is not if you rob a bank and you go to court for it and you go to serve 10 years in prison. That's not persecution. That is justice.
Right.
Persecution is that you made sure you didn't rob a bank. You did everything best of your ability to do what's right, and now they're accusing you of robbing a bank, but you didn't.
Right.
That's persecution. So we got to get a perspective then. So these are eight trials. These are eight trials for us. In other words, he's saying, listen, you want this, if you'll go through these trials and be loyal to me in these eight perspectives, and this is just the beginning of a conversation. You think about the paradigm of the blessing, then understand you got to get God's perspective on these eight expectations of God, because if we walk faithfully in them and to do them, then we know that we're going to be blessed. Mm. We're going to be blessed. And getting that perspective then have to have a perspective, because these are all trials, right? It's trials when you have to embrace weakness. Mm. It's trials when you have to be, you know, not only are you repenting for your sin, but you need to be broken for your sin. It's a trial with humility is a trial when pride tries to raise up. You know, seeking to know Jesus' ways and obey them is a trial to your flesh, wanting to go a different way. Pure motives, all these different things, showing mercy to the people who don't even deserve it. Being obedient in the midst of persecution. These are trials. So we got to have a perspective of these trials so that we can be blessed, like Jesus says that we'll be blessed. So this is basically a list of godly expectations from Jesus that can help us walk into a place of trials. I think of James chapter 1. Verse 2, he tells us, he says, literally, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, which is fellow believers now, when we face trials of many kinds. But think about that. Mm. Well, now we're understanding these eight trials. We're going to face these eight trials by God's mercy and grace. And he says, when you do it, consider it pure joy. And he tells us the reason why is because you know that the testing of your faith, the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Mm. So it's a place of blessing. It's we have to go through the fire and through the trials with these eight characteristics, and this is just some of it. We're talking about the beginning of the of Sermon on the Mount, of what Jesus first began to say. He says, listen, you want to be blessed? This is what you're going to need to do. And so many times we have a tendency to just to run from a trial or avoid it, or I got an appointment, or, you know, or what some people, they just keep switching church after church after church.
Yeah.
And their trials just kind of follow them there for some strange reason.
A lot of people want the testimony but don't want to go through the test.
All like, they have is the monies left, right?
Yeah, you got to go through the test. You got to go through the fire.
What's so cool about it, though, now we're understanding with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that when we do that, we're blessed.
Yeah.
We're blessed when we're doing that. 1 Peter 1:6, towards the end of 6 there, he says, now, for a little while, you may have to suffer. You may have to suffer trials of many kinds, of all kinds, just for a little while. He says, these have come. So don't, you know, listen, you're not the only one going through something. And they have come. He says, these have come so that, which is the motive, your faith, so it has to do with your faith, which is being confident in God in the midst of all the calamity and all the, if I embrace weakness, then God's going to have to defend me because I'm not defending myself. You know, when I'm being humble, you got to let God fight your battles. When you are merciful to people who don't deserve it, you got to just trust God in all that. If you're having faith that God will walk with you through that. He says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, listen, American Christians, in regards to the economy, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine. Mm. There's some ungenuine faith out there that we have to say, you know what? The only way we can find out that if it's genuine or not, we have to be able to go through something.
That's right.
Yeah, and he's telling us that we can be proactive in testing our faith. I remember when Pat, remember when you were a brand new believer, and it was amazing. He don't ask this anymore, but he was working for an employer, and he fell miserably, and he immediately asked God to test him again.
Wow!
Immediately, he's like, "Bam!" I ain't heard stuff like that.
But, hear that no more.
Yeah, I'll hear that no more. But he passed the second time. He had plenty of opportunities.
Praise
particular
God.
Employer. I don't know how he had that employer.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine either. But then it literally proves our faith. It proves our that you can say you have faith. You can be all zealous and stuff. You see all these, you know, brand new Christians of the Lord, and I love their fire. But you got to pray for them because they're going to go through times of testing to prove that faith out. You know, Jesus talks about the seed and the sower. You know, some fell upon the rock, some fell about the thorns and the weeds, and their faith did not prove genuine. They didn't survive the process. And so you're going to be tested, and these things are going to come to you, but we can be proactive in saying, you know what, I'm going to embrace these three realities. I like what Mike Bickle calls this, is like the, it's like the constitution of the kingdom. And the constitution is what we're made up of. It's the supreme law for the church. This is what we're supposed to do. And it's a time of proving our faith. You know, Paul tells us, you know, specifically that proves the trials prove the authenticity of our faith, that it's authentic, that it's God's perspective of the trial is that we trust him in the midst of the trial. And we don't define where we are by what we're going through. We just say, whatever I'm going through, God's going to get me through this. You know, and it's not about everybody and you, it's about you and God and how you're going to go through that. And so we can be proactive in this expectation of God to be able to get these blessings in our life. And
we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can teachers lawfully promote a particular religion in public school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
You know, I'm concerned about the powers that be when they say that we can't talk about Jesus in the schools. How come the Constitution uses the expression in the year of our Lord and we're denied that ability? Teachers themselves should be able to promote Jesus in the schools because of the Constitution.
You know, the Supreme Court has drawn a distinction between the kind of what we would call state action, which is the teacher speaking, versus the students. The students clearly have the right to have Bible studies, prayer meetings, share their faith, evangelize, the events like See You at the Poll. That can take place without any constitutional problem. The difficulty is for teachers. The teacher is deemed under existing Supreme Court law to be the actor of the state. They cannot evangelize, or what they call proselytize, their faith without running afoul of the Constitution.
Stand with us and join the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. We're just talking about the Sermon on the Mount. You could think of it like the constitution of the church, you know, the expectations of God towards us. And he says, the first thing he talks about is, listen, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. And then he begins to explain eight different trials, eight different difficulties that we have to walk through in maintaining our faith, and just say, you know what? I'm just going to do these eight things. I'm just going to do them. I'm going to pray that God will give me grace to do them. I'm going to maintain my faith. It's not going to change my faith in God and who he is as I go through them. And he has eight blessings. And these are the eight blessings that he tells us if we do those eight things. And let me tell you the eight things real quick. Like, again, is the first one is to embrace weakness. Literally just bring it close to you as a good friend. Embrace weakness. And people, it just blows their mind when you don't fight back. It just blows their mind. But embrace weakness. Have a brokenness. The second one is a brokenness over your sin, over our sin. It's not something like, oh, I guess I sinned, I got to repent. It's like you're broken over the fact of what happened there. Mm-hmm. Humility. We have to have humility and walk in it, which is the trial in itself quite often. The fourth one is seek to know Jesus' ways and obey them. The fifth one is just showing mercy to others. The sixth one is to have pure motives in our hearts. The seventh one is to be a peacemaker. And the eighth is obedient even in persecution and bearing up under unjust treatment and suffering for doing good until we're wrong. Listen, we can say, begin to walk those out. And this is the, blessed are those who do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells us very specifically, what those eight blessings are. When we embrace weakness, for example, when we voluntarily embrace weakness, this is what happens. It gets us in the kingdom of heaven. It gets us into the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. It's huge. So think about, okay, I'm going to embrace this weakness, and in the context of that, this gives me access into the kingdom of heaven. It's real crazy in the sense because you think maybe I got to do. I said, listen, no, that's not how it works. It's embracing weakness. And that gets in the kingdom of heaven. The second one is being broken and repented for our sins. It brings us comfort from the Lord. So no longer is your repentance some sort of just robotic, I sin, forgive me, let's move on. It is, I'm broken over this. Mm-hmm. God, forgive me. And look, we just did something against God. Mm-hmm. But when we own up to it, and it's just so beautiful, if this ever happens, we see people that own up to their stuff and they repent, your heart just melts towards them. Well, God's perfect, and his heart melts towards us, and he says, oh. And so then he comforts us. So God begins to comfort us when we're broken about our sin. Mm-hmm. That's a blessing. That's a blessing when the creator of the universe comforts you.
Yeah.
When you were the one that was wrong, when we were the one that made a mistake.
Amen.
That's a huge blessing. The third is humility, you know, walking in total dependency on God and respect for other people. What does it do? It brings us the earth as our inheritance. Think about it. It brings us the earth as our inheritance. He even talks about it in Revelations 11:15. A new heaven, a new earth. Listen, this is an awesome thing.
Yeah.
You know? And you got to understand, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, he's talking about these people, the hall of faith. Mm-hmm. Understanding that they look like the antithesis of all these blessings, but the reality was that the world was not even worthy of them. Because we're not living for this life. These eight expectations, these eight trials that we walk through have eight blessings. And we're not looking necessarily for a blessing in this lifetime, although he does bless us, but it's a blessing for eternity. Another aspect of showing on the fifth, he says, you know, show mercy towards others. He says, listen, it brings us mercy from God. Mercy is a beautiful thing because mercy is when we do something wrong and if something's we're deserving of it, that if we will be merciful to other people, that they deserve not mercy and not kindness, but you're merciful to them, then the blessing is God's merciful to you. You reap what you sow.
Yeah.
You think about it, it's a beautiful blessing right there. And the fourth is seek to know and obey Jesus' ways. What does this do? It brings us the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives. It brings to pass God's promises in our lives. That's beautiful. What a blessing that is.
Yeah.
What a blessing that is. And the fifth is showing mercy to others. Brings us mercy. I talked about that. And the sixth is as pure motives. Having pure motives in our heart gives, this is the blessing, it gives us access to see God. For the pure in heart, are going to get to see God. But them tell you, that's a trial. That's a battle to keep your heart pure. That's a battle. But listen, when we go through that and have faith in God and trust God and embrace weakness and be his disciple and all these eight things that we're talking about, he says that with pure motives, it gives us access to see the face of God, to see God.
Huge reward.
Huge. This is the first thing that he's talking to us about after coming out. This is God, Emmanuel, in the flesh, sitting on a mountain, telling us this thing. The first thing he tells us, listen, I want you to be blessed. And he was embracing the weakness of becoming all man and all God. He was demonstrating it sitting on a mountain when he's holding the mountain together.
Yeah.
You know, all of that. And then he tells us, of course, if we're the peacemakers, which are the confronters and do what it takes to be able to have peace, he says, listen, the blessing is that this identifies us as sons of God. The blessing is you have an ID badge on you going, that's a son of God. Somehow he's willing to do what it takes to bring the peace. God's peace. And the eighth and the last promise of the blessing, how to have a blessed life that he's telling us here, is that being obedient, even in persecution and suffering for doing good, brings us a great reward in heaven. To the measurement and the extent of the persecution brings us the measurement and the extent of the reward in heaven. The more you go through in this life and holding on to your faith, the greater is your reward in heaven. The first thing that Jesus told us was, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. But you're going to have to embrace these eight weaknesses. You're going to have to just trust me in these things. And if you trust me in these things and give up all your agendas, give up all your self-preservation, give up all your pride, give up all your religion, and just go after God and trust him in these things, these eight things, that these eight blessings are yours.
How powerful is that?
It's powerful.
How powerful is that? I hear you talking about what Jesus instructs us to have a blessed life, and yet, I mean, we do well to stay in the words of Jesus. You know, that you read other stuff, and there's other stuff being taught about having a blessed life. Jesus already is telling us how to have a blessed
life. The very first thing he says, John, is I want to bless you. But then he gives us the secrets to the blessing, and right. We'll be talking more. We're just pondering, kind of soaking on the constitution, you know, of the church.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'm so glad, Steve, you're joining us in the studio today, VFN Radio studio. I want to ask you, talk to our listeners today about abiding. Maybe they're thinking about, you know, tell us about what's it like to abide?
You're just being with Jesus, man. You're just talking to him, just hanging out with him. You know, Jesus says in his word, he says, the word became flesh. And he says, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. Just be with me. And, you know, the revelations and the things that he's spoken to me about, you know, in my heart, in my life, in the upcoming day, you're just like, wow. Or things will happen, and I'll look back in my abiding time, or like as I've journaled, you know, after you get like the I Abide plan, you know, looking at that, just so simple,
is it not?
Oh my goodness!
Well, I want to say this, you know, if you want to have that experience with God, if you want, because God loves you individually, you know, and He wants to talk to you, He cares about your life. You know, find out more. You can get a simple plan at iabide.org. Go to iabide.org. Just read up on it right there. You can request a simple little plan at iabide.org.
I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to vfntv.com, or you can go to facebook.com/vfntv. It's easier to go to vfntv and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience. A virtual stadium, if you would, that was being filled all around the world. And now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Yeah, we're talking about personal transformation. He says, be transformed. And think about it. You know, you look at all the crazy stuff going on today. Mm-hmm. You look at what's taking place in the church, or not taking place in the church, or what is taking place in the church. You look at society, you look at the family, you look at the world and uproar, the economy. And I have a personal plan for you to begin a transformation that and I'm going to share with you. You can personally, in 1 year's time, you can affect between 3,000 and 100,000 people for God, wow, for transformation. Let me share it with you. You know, the very specific thing that the Lord did, as we share often, is that he came to transform us. He came to take us out of a sinful state and to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. But he says then, you know, he says that we are to become his disciple. Mm-hmm. We're to be transformed. The way that we do things or did things, we transform that. We begin to do them differently. I like what Paul said. You know, Paul said, and he's writing to the church in Rome, and it's in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, and this, we're talking to the church here. We're not talking to the world. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, thank God for your mercy.
Yes.
In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And so think about it. How do we worship God? Some people like to sing. Some people like to say that they worship God, but the truth is we worship God through obedience. We obey him. That's why he says, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Right. So if your body wants to go right, but God says it needs to go left, when you go left and you don't go right with the right attitude in your heart, you just worship God. You worship God. But the second part of that in verse 2, he says, do not conform. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. He didn't say do not conform for a few weeks. You know, conform for a while, and then every now and then don't conform. You know, or he says, he said very specifically, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Think about that. By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Think about it. He says, don't even conform any longer. But then he says, be transformed. And that word transform in the Greek, the word means metamorphosis. Literally go like a caterpillar would go into a cocoon and go through a metamorphosis inside the cocoon, and it would come out a butterfly. It's not a caterpillar anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a butterfly. And we're born again when we give our lives to the Lord. We cannot stop short of metamorphosis. We cannot stop this side of transformation. We are called, Jesus said, go preach this good news, and those who believe baptize, then teach them to obey everything. In other words, let them be transformed, transform them, their way of doing things. And so you look at what's happening right now. You have a church in America that is, it's stopped on the left side of transformation. It's tried to transform others. It's tried to transform the political parties. It tried to transform their communities, their business sectors. But they didn't start with personal transformation. It's not us. It's God transforming us by what he says and what his word is. You know, he says that my sheep know my voice and they follow none other. So think about this. So then it's obviously not about political transformation, you know, and it's not about, you know, economic transformation. Is that when we begin to look at what God says in his word, we transform ourselves by God's grace and the empowerment of his spirit into beginning to do things God's way. He says very specifically, he said, if you follow my teachings, then you really, look at that word, really, really are my disciple. What does that mean? Is that you're not following his teachings and you're not his disciple. If you follow my teachings, then you're really my disciple and you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So how can we be set free from where we are today? It's through transformation. It's through spending time with God. And we talk about it quite often, and you could find out more about abiding at iabide.org. But through a simple abiding plan, you can begin to transform this nation, but it starts with you. But the definition, how we define abiding is, we describe as abiding as spending time with God regularly. Reading his word, the Bible, hiding his word in our heart, which is memorization, keeping it. Thy word hath I hidden my heart that I would not sin against you. We don't know it's sin unless we have the word. Then communicating with God, praying and listening, talking to God and listening, then obey what he says or impresses on you to do. It's a simple thing. I mean, he tells us very specifically in John 15, 4 through 5, he says, you know, remain, and that's the word abide. Remain in Jesus, and Jesus will remain or abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain or abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide or remain in Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me, or abides in Jesus, and Jesus in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from Jesus, apart from abiding in him, you can do nothing. We can be religious. We can come up with all kind of conservative parties. We can, you know, come up with our schemes and plans and philosophies. But it boils down to simplicity. This is what blew the Pharisees away, was they didn't understand how God could use a simple fisherman. But he says they took notice that they'd been with Jesus. They abided with Jesus, and they knew this. And this is how we'll transform America. This is how we'll transform. This is how you'll transform your family. This is how you transform your church gathering. This is how the church grows and builds itself up. And think about this. Understanding then transformation is leaving God, the world's way of doing things and our way of doing things, and transforming ourselves to God's way of doing things. And he tells us that we cannot do this unless we abide with him. So just begin to abide. You alone, all by yourself, not thinking about anybody else, not talking about anybody else. You know, first take a 6-week challenge. They say it takes, you know, 40 days to build a habit. You know, take a 6-week challenge and say, you know what? I'm going to believe that God's going to begin to transform me all by yourself. You're not trying to transform your wife. You're not trying to transform your husband. You're not trying to transform your children. You're not trying to manipulate. This is you. You know, no agenda, you and God. And begin to abide with him, you know, daily for 6 weeks. Not 6 weeks in one day. Just say, I'm going to make a 6-week commitment to begin to abide. Why? Because if I'm going to be transformed, he says, we can do nothing outside of abiding with Jesus. So as I abide with him, as I hang around with Jesus and with that definition that I said about abiding, then all of a sudden, you know, I'm really his disciple. And then things begin to become known to me and they become revealed to me. He says, then you'll know the truth. And when that truth is revealed to you by God through your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're set free.
Right.
I mean, think how powerful that is.
It's the truth that you know that sets you free.
Exactly. That's revealed to you.
Exactly.
It's revealed to you, and that comes with, you know, abiding with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it is. So the first thing you did, you know, there's 300 some odd million people in America, but you're not thinking about them. There's, you know, a couple political parties, you're not thinking about them. There's 7 trillion denominations and non-denominations and different gatherings, you know, all kinds of, you know, you're not thinking about them. You're just saying it's all about you and God. And so what do you do? Well, you can find this abiding plan at iabide.org. I'm going to share a little bit of it with you. It's very simple. You need to first commit to it. I'm going to do it for 6 weeks. And then you got to decide when you're going to do it. You need to do it daily. You need to have the same time each day that you do it. A certain place, the very same place that you do it. A plan, and of course, we could talk about a plan right now. You know, what are you going to do? And then a goal, be very specific. And the goal would be, as we're talking about, you know, saving America, is personal transformation, you being transformed. And so when you do this, part of the plan is a simple abiding plan where you use a simple journal, a blank journal, and we have at iabide.org, we have a video for you to show you how to do it, every step of it, testimonies. I mean, it's all there for you, but I'm just telling you about it. And so if, whether you're in a gathering of 5,000 people on a weekly, or whether you're in a gathering of 2 or 3, and this is how you start. And then after you finish your 6 weeks, and of course, when you're abiding, you're going to write down every day the word that you're hiding in your heart. Remember, because part of abiding is you're hiding this word in your heart, and write it down for an entire week, that same scripture. And got some clues on how to do that. If you have difficulty with memorization, I talk about that at iabide.org. But the And then you begin to read the word, read the scripture that day, you know, and stay consistent in where you are in your reading and ask God, say, God, speak to me today. And all of a sudden something will just jump off the page. Something will just stick out. Stop right there. Don't go any further and write that down. And there's a way to do this. We have it there at iabide.org. And then ask this question. If you write down what jumped off to you in the scriptures or what God spoke to you, say, God, what are you saying to me about me? Not what are you saying to me about the world? What are you saying to me about my wife or my husband or my children? You know, what are you saying to me about me? And then whatever it is, you know, put that down. Mm-hmm. And then begin to pray. You know, what action does God want you to take over that? What's he saying? What's he impressing on you to do? Mm-hmm. And then the next week, which will be your second week of 6 weeks, you have a new verse that you write down every day for 7 days, and you're committing that to memorization. You're letting it wash over you and transform you. Because he says, be transformed. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. And you're finding out, you're abiding, spending time in God's way of doing things, the new way. You're in mm-hmm. the Word. So this is really cool. So you finish that 6 weeks at this particular time, then you begin to pray and ask God, God, of all the people I know, if it's people in your present church gathering, it could be people in your workplace, I don't know who it is, but you find, you know, 3 to 5 people that you sit down with them, tell them about your experience and your personal abiding experience and what you've been doing for the last 6 weeks, and then challenge them to take the 6 week challenge. Mm-hmm. So now potentially you have 5 people that are doing what you did. It's pretty cool. Right. But then since you've already walked through that 6 weeks and you're going to continue to abide as now that you've been abiding. So during their 6 weeks, while they're doing their 6 week challenge, you're abiding once it's complete for 12 weeks, right?
Right.
But mm-hmm. meet once a week. What you need to do is says, hey, let's get up at the coffee shop. Let's go to Starbucks. Let's go to the library. You know, let's have lunch together once a week. And we also meet at a certain time. And we come together, we will be able to discuss or share what the Lord had been sharing with us that particular week. And it's pretty cool because you see, let me tell you that this is rethinking church. Mm-hmm. Think about it. The church is people. Mm-hmm. And you're looking now that if everybody's believers there, then you're looking at the church functioning. You know, it started with 1 and now it's 6, you know, if you found 5. Mm-hmm. And 6, the church is beginning to grow. The kingdom's beginning to expand. Disciples are beginning to come forth, right? Because you're following mm-hmm. the teaching. So when you come together once a week, you know, pray together. Then say, you know, pick one thing that God shared with you this week and share it. Everybody gets a chance to share what stood out the most to them. Mm-hmm. You share your memory verse and you share what's this revelation, because people begin to get revelation. I mean, all ages are get hearing from God. And then you pray together and then you leave. And so once a week, you come together with those few people that you challenge to do the same thing that you've done already. And at the end of these 12 weeks, then you ask the question to the group in your last meeting, the church gathering that you have there. Hey, this is pretty cool. It's not as hard as religion has made it out to be. Mm-hmm. You want to keep meeting every week? And you'll be surprised. And the ones that say yes, then you continue. You know what you just did? You begin to form a gathering, a church gathering. And now what do? You continue doing what you just did. Each of you go out and you challenge 3 to 5 other people to take the 6 week challenge. And what happens? Another small group, another church gathering begins to birth. And another one, and another one, and another one. And just think about it. There's what? How many weeks in a year? 52 weeks?
52. Mm-hmm.
That means there is 8 6-weeks in a year. You know, if you divide a 52 by 6, you get, you know, 8 point whatever. Mm-hmm. So that means you have 8 opportunities to have 8 challenges in a year.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program.
We're on.
Hello. How are you?
I'm sorry, we were waiting for John to get here from his... his condo. Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I didn't have anything on my ears right here.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
As you can tell, that we're just the everyday carrying on how it works. There if you missed our earlier programs, you got to hear as children and young people and dreams and visions and things that are going on, because he says, you know, hear what my spirit says to the churches. And that's called retribution. That's called retribution.
Okay. Okay.
Everything kind of works out in the end. And they're not even widening the shot so you can see him crawling around. Okay.
Wow.
Well, anyway, so, oh, now he's back.
Hello.
Do we need amulets? Do we need amulets?
We're good.
Amulets.
Amulets.
You heard that, Laura.
Amulets.
Germany tournament cricket.
It's over.
And so I was focusing.
Wrestling. We got a bunch of these. We got to write these down.
That's good.
Just so you know, if you ever hear the word, how do you say it?
Wrestling?
Yes. It really means wrestling.
Okay.
That's the interpretation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. So let's just say, for example, you said, this is pathetic, what's going on in society. You know, we've been doing... You could be get a church gathering. It's like, what are we doing? We've been doing this same thing for 10 years and we're not doing anything else. And we don't know each other. We don't even hear God's voice. And instead of blaming everybody and pointing your finger, just say, you know what? I'm going to begin to take that challenge myself. I'm going to go to iabide.org. I'm going to get the simple plan and I'm going to do it for 6 weeks. And then you say, you know what? After that 6 weeks, I'm going to go out and find five people. I'm going to challenge them. I might have to talk to eight to get five, but to personally challenge them, to transform them. Listen, you will never be the same. When you spend 6 weeks with God, you'll never be the same. And you won't want anything else. This is all you'll want. You'll want to spend time with him.
Right.
And after that 12 weeks, right, because you have your 6 weeks of your challenge and the 12 weeks, then the five of you ask the very same thing. Go out and challenge five other people and keep your core group as you're gathering once a week, because you've built this relationship with God and each other, and then help them do the same thing. If you do this for eight consecutive sets of 6 weeks, in 1 year, you would have reached 97,656 people, introduced them to the voice of God, taught them how to relate to God and to obey God and to please God and to be transformed from the patterns of this world.
Wow.
And so often people look at 100,000 people and they think, that's just overwhelming. Well, it's overwhelming if you're planning on being God.
Yeah.
But if you introduce people to God instead of yourself or your organization or your denomination or your church building, and if you introduce them to God, then God handles it. Well, God handles it.
All right.
The stadiums that we see prophetically in the future that God has shown me is filled with people who are hearing his voice, who abide with God. It's not just some undisconnected celebration thing. It's no, these are people hearing from God. So no matter where you put them, no matter what you take away from them, they got God and they got their Bible and they have a blank journal.
Right.
Think about it. Just you starting for 6 weeks. That's one person for 6 weeks. Then you finding five other people to give a challenge after you've done your 6 weeks. You know, you've at that point, you know, you've reached six. But it's exponential transformation. This is called exponential transformation, because when those five go out and find five, that's 25 that they find. And when those 25 finish their six-week challenge and they go out and find five, that's 125. And when those 125 finish their 6 weeks and they go out and find five, that's 625 human beings that are being led to the abiding voice of the Lord. And when those 625 finish their 6 weeks and they go out and they begin to pray, God, lead me to the people that you want to be abiding with you, then that's 3,125 people in 36 weeks.
Wow.
I mean, if you only did half of that, I mean, think about it. If you spent your first week in personal transformation and began to abide with God, and you just go out and find three people. Mm-hmm. Just three people. At the end of 1 year, this continuing on, you would have brought 3,279 people into an abiding relationship with God where they can hear his voice, that they know how to spend time with God. They know how to, and they're personally transforming. They're personally transforming others by bringing them to an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. What is happening? What's happening is the church is beginning to be the church. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing all these gatherings form, or you may call them small groups or whatever, but you're looking, since the church is people, you're looking at all these different church births that are taking place. So in a crowd of 5,000 people, for example, you know, it could be a whole bunch of church gatherings in that, the people that know God and know each other, no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. It uh-huh. means that the church could be persecuted and scattered, but because you have personal relationship with God and each other, it's still functioning.
Right.
It's still functioning. It begins, you're not going to transform anybody and anything by blaming them and accusing them and never even start to begin to. Transformation begins with you. It begins with you. And I'm talking about exponential transformation. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about exponentially transforming yourself, starting with you, and then begin to transform your nation one man at a time, mm-hmm. one woman at a time. Mm. And think about it. Just in a simple scenario of that at the end of, you know, a year, when you're looking at five, you can take 97,000 and 100,000 basically and divide it by five. And that's how many church births that's happened. This took mm-hmm. place.
Wow.
Think about it.
Wow.
You know, you think about John G. Lake. John G. Lake started 5,000 churches in Africa during his ministry. 5,000 churches. And if you introduce them to your ideas, your concepts, and your philosophies, and you don't introduce them to God, this is impossible. Mm-hmm. But if you introduce them to Jesus Christ and how to abide with him and to hear his voice, you can transform a nation.
Wow.
But it begins with you. Because when what's going to happen, and you begin your 6 weeks of abiding with the Lord, you're not going to be the same person anymore at the end of 6 weeks. Mm-mm. You're not going to see God in the same way. Mm-hmm. You're going to be so amazed at how he has an answer for each and everything in your life and where you're going and what you're doing. People are going to begin to notice there's a difference in you. Mm-hmm. You know, religion's going to be broken off of you, mm-hmm. and relationships going to be birthed in you. The simplicity and the joy of knowing Jesus Christ is going to come real to you like never before. And by the time you're talking to others about the 6 week challenge, you were so on fire because you realize you want them to have the same Jesus that you spent time with, that you got to know during your own personal 6 weeks. Listen, they're going to want what you got.
That's right.
They're going to take notice that you've been with Jesus. And this is like a fire. It begins to be spread across the land. Think about it. This is what the disciples said. They said, when Jesus was talking to them, he says, did not your hearts burn? Mm-hmm. And a fire, you want to start a fire in men's heart. That is the voice of the Lord speaking to them, and a fire that spreads across this land. Exponential transformation. We can transform this nation one man at a time.
Could you imagine, you know, John G. Lake planted over 5,000 churches in Africa, over 5,000 churches. Mm-hmm. You know, people are getting saved, and within being saved for 30 days, 60 days, you know, 90 days, not only are they actually starting a church gathering, but they're actually starting another church.
Right.
I mean, it just happens. You know, if we break loose from the flower pot, if we break loose from that thing that's retaining and just maxing out our roots. So listen, a vine is supposed to go all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have a beautiful flower in a flower pot. I think of, you know, Charles Simpson in his book. Yeah, I think it's called Vines, Ants, Vines, and
Flower Pots.
Isn't that mm-hmm. interesting? Yeah. And he talks about, you know, vines just meant to grow anywhere and to go anywhere. And Jesus said, I am the vine. Listen, we're supposed to preach the gospel to all, and then the end would come. We're not waiting for somebody to show up and preach it. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Imagine if you spend the next 10 years of your life just obeying God. Listen to Steve Hills. He talks about exactly what happens. You can get saved and get trained and get launched into the harvest field. Listen up.
And we lived in Argentina for years. And same thing. We would give an altar call. Someone would come forward, get saved. Next news you know, they've planted 3 churches. Blink your eyes, they've planted 10. Blink your eyes. And some North Americans down the road can't get anything off the ground.
Exactly right.
And I'm going, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the picture. Let me just ask a couple.
I want to say this. It's the hunger. We're going to have to get hunger. Yes, we could. You could go to India. Right now, you can go to China. As a matter of fact, they're asking for so many to come. But America, the American church, is kind of like, we don't need anything, you know? Mm-hmm. There's no hunger. You know, God moves by hunger. If we get hungry, if we say, listen, I'm ready to get all this out of my life, that's not God. All I want is God. And I'm ready to go after God. Listen, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Listen, this is not a fairy tale. This is eternity. People every day are dying and going to hell. Every day, somebody, maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's the guy that just installed your cable in your home. Or maybe it's your appliance repair person. Maybe it's your teacher. Maybe it's your friend. I don't know. But are you telling them about Jesus? Have you break loose from that that's holding you back and begin to sow the gospel of peace? Begin to sow the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we're doing that at VFN. Vine Fellowship Network. It's vfnfamily.org. If you want to find out something about it, you can be trained, you can be discipled, you can be launched out, you can be connected and rightly related. I mean, you can stay where you are and begin to grow right where you're at. It's amazing. You know, if the kingdom of God is within you, and this is just so exciting. You want to be a part of that. What's wrong in America? We're not hungry. We've fallen into sin. We got to repent. We got to rise up. We got to get hungry. We got to know that God is the only answer. All these other things that are happening that are distracting, they're just demonic distractions trying to keep us out of the ultimate goal of preaching the kingdom of God to all, and then the end will come. He's coming back. Mm-hmm. He's coming back, you know?
That's right.
You know, you can be you're either a gatherer or a scatterer. He says, if you're not gathering, then you're scattering. You know, you got to be a gatherer. You got to work in going out and winning the lost. God's called us. And listen, you can be a lengthener or a strengthener. You can be part of a team that's lengthening what is, or part of a team that is strengthening what is. But you're part of the advancement of the kingdom of God, which is not building a wing onto a building. It's actually telling another person about Jesus. We'll find out more about that at vfnfamily.org. vfnfamily.org.
Auto Docs of Pensacola is where all Sid cars go to get well. ASC and Toyota Master Technicians are at hand, specializing in automotive repair, transmission repair, vehicle maintenance, and so much more. Call and make an appointment for your Sid car today. Visit Miss Sue's Vintage Market for your special one-of-a-kind gifts and for all your antique decor. Vintage, rustic, distressed furniture, collectibles. On the corner of Ensley and North Palafox, where you can buy, sell, and consign, visit Sue today. Finders Keepers, a unique boutique with thrift shop prices, where you can find anything from furniture, clothes, jewelry, and so much more. Visit Mary today in Pensacola on Gulf Beach Highway and get you a great find today. Oh my goodness, Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue, a taste of Southern soul. On Highway 29, just 1/4 mile north from Kingsfield Road, right on the right hand side. Come on in and get some. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. John, do you know the VFN TV app? is out, right? I think it's
4.0,
man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes. Everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.